Blog Talk Radio.
Great Friday, and welcome back to Your Health is Your Wealth. Again, my name is Kimberly Silas. It is my proud, pleasing pleasure to be the host of our platform here at Your Health is Your Wealth. And it is a marvelous day, May 4th, 2018. Again, I'd like to give you a quick weather report. As you know, we have been encountering some unusually cold weather in the southeast region, but I would like to report that it is sunny and it is a beautiful, brisk spring day at approximately 76 degrees. So we are loving that. The pollen has washed away, the birds are singing, the flowers are blooming, and I have no adverse weather reports on today. So that's always a great thing. For the month of May, we are proud to announce that this is the Mental Health Month. May is the Mental Health Month, and as we do on every Friday, we would like to open up with a moment of meditation. And in the theme of Mental Health Month, our meditation today comes from I Am Destined for Greatness. My destiny is not a specific location in the future. My destiny is exactly where I am right now. It is a place of consciousness. In this consciousness, I recognize and realize that my greatness is right under my feet. I've decided that this is my truth. My decision is an affirmation and a confirmation of what is eternally true about me. I am already great. I am greatness embodied. This is my destiny. I make peace in my heart right where I am. I affirm that my every action is an extension of my greatness. Regardless of what shows up in my life or what I am growing through, I affirm my greatness. My greatness precedes me. In my relationship, greatness inspires my words. At work, my greatness inspires me to take the best action for the highest good of all involved. I thank you for the strength in me, through me, as me, around me, and through the Christ within, and so it is. That meditation came from Romans 12 and 2. Do not imitate the way of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may discern what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that is just awesome to know that I am right where I'm supposed to be and I have the mental capacity to recognize my greatness right where I am right now. So, you know, here at Your Health is Your Wealth, we focus consistently on the nature of your consciousness, which impacts everything, your character, your execution, your actions, the way you treat people, the way people receive you, all initiates in a sound, conscious state of mind. So for May to be the Mental Health Month, we come into this month with praise and exaltation and just thanking God for just giving us the ability to maintain a sound conscious mind. And you guys know I am the best at rattling off in self-expression, but I must take this moment to recognize our co-host for the month of May on today. Now, this individual comes to us, you guys, we are so immensely blessed, with a doctorate degree in pastoral community counseling. With a humble servant leader and in their field of expertise. They impart their knowledge on leaders and clinical professionals throughout the United States. However, is also an honorary member of our PRF ministry team. With that being said, I'm not going to keep rattling on, but I would like to bring to the forefront, you guys, in most humble and appreciative honor, our very own Bishop Dr. Kelly Zimmerman. Thank you so much, Dr. Zimmerman, for being with us today.
Thank you so much. I am definitely honored to be here. I am definitely honored, and I thank you all for not counting it robbery for me to be a part of the PRF Institute. God bless you as well.
Absolutely, Dr. Zimmerman. With May being the mental health month, we were wanting to discuss and focus on the reoccurring and progressive aspects of mental health. And in my own infancy research, I shall say, I have a list that we could never cover the entirety in this 30-minute segment. But what I really found to be paramount is that there is some sort of, I would say, taboo in the African-American community towards mental health counseling and the aspect of addressing mental health issues. Can you elaborate or share your insight on your experience in that arena?
You're absolutely right. And if I may also include, overall, within the past maybe 25 years, there's really been an enlightenment within the mental health professional, period, and that may surprise a lot of people because there's been so many different theories out there altogether. But I can say a lot of the taboos have been, and a lot of us within the African-American community can attribute, because we were raised, as, and you and I shared, we were having a good discussion on this on yesterday, that, as, you know, whatever you discuss, whatever problems you have at home, you keep it at home. You know, you don't tell everybody your business. It's, we are supposed to suppress things. And the analogy that I would share in many of my groups, because one of my focuses had been on the addiction perspective, and many people that have even fallen into the addiction category, the primary reason has been because they fell into the addiction category. And I'm not saying at all, was because there was a mental health issue and they were trying to suppress it, or some of them, and that's another subject maybe even for another time, as going into co-occurring disorders, which means to try to cover the symptoms, because they were either trying to, they couldn't afford the medication, or they didn't believe in that type of medication, and because of limited knowledge of the natural remedies, and they became more dependent. But nevertheless, for the sake of the taboo conversation, we have been taught that it is important to suppress those challenges that we have within our home. For example, I can be transparent within myself. As a little girl, there were some cases that I was sexually assaulted. And it might not have, quote, been acceptable for me to say, hey, this person did this to me. You know, I had this family member ask me for a glass of water, and they tried to touch me inappropriate, you know, within certain body parts. And I had told this to this person, no, they didn't. They weren't trying to do that. And each and every time that that person would try to come over to the house, I would try to hide because I didn't want to deal with that person. Especially if no adults were in the home. You understand what I'm saying? So as a result, and later on in my later adolescent life, in early adult life, I had some relationship issues, and I didn't know how to deal with those things, and I had to get help for that. And so, you know, we were not taught to go and talk to someone about that. You just kept that, swept that under the rug. Or you do like we do when we're trying to empty our trash can. We pack in more stuff. And because we pack in more stuff, we don't deal with those issues. But if you keep packing things in a trash can, after a while, what happens? That trash can is gonna, that trash is gonna pop up. And it appears that the manifestation, what happened is as addictive behavior, bad relationship, criminal activities, and all of these other things, where you're looking at the outward, oh, that child is bad. That adult don't know how to, they are engaging in criminal behavior, and they don't know how to act. They're crazy. They're cuckoo. You get these negative labels, and people don't want to get help. So as a result of that, but people don't understand what's going on the inside.
Absolutely.
And so people are ashamed to get help. Then from our religious community, because of the limited understanding of it, what happens is, oh, there's a demon inside that person. They need to heal and deliver. They need to go to the altar, and you have the same people going to the altar 15 times for the same issue.
Yeah.
You have the same person getting hands laid on, and as a result of that, nothing's happening. Because in actuality, and you and I even briefly discussed this, God may have decided, hey, I'm going to heal through going to a mental health professional.
Absolutely.
But the
leader
doesn't have the understanding. Yeah.
That is so incredible. You have said so much impacting information. I think the first thing that hit home for me was the suppression of childhood issues. Because we are historically and culturally trained not to repeat negative things outside of the family dynamic, that information never goes anywhere, and it reoccurs and progresses in other aspects of our life. And you are absolutely right. It plants a seed, and it starts planting roots throughout your ultimate dynamic. And I know one time I shared with you on yesterday, I was suffering significantly with the passing of my sibling and struggling significantly with grief. And they prayed for me week after week after week, but I could not release the sadness. And my bishop, on one particular morning, I don't know that she knows she was speaking directly to me, but she expressed that there is a need for us to operate in the physical. Sometimes when we are recognizing that we're encountering adverse circumstances, we need to use the power of prayer to go seek help for whatever it is that's troubling us. And I felt such a great sense of relief immediately in that moment, because I felt so guilty that my prayer life, my spiritual life, and my church family couldn't relieve the pain that I was in. And you said something about the religious aspect having very limited understanding, and she gave the analogy of if we walk to the altar with a broken arm, of course everybody would pray on that individual that they be relieved from pain, healed and restored. But immediately after service is over, they're going to get you to a medical professional to reset that arm. So, I believe that we ought to honor and recognize all of the gifts that God has empowered us with. And Dr. Zimmerman, you are a prime example. You are a member of a very prominent member of the clergy, but you have a professional clinical expertise.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, you have to look at it like this, if I may add. I hope I didn't cut you off. But at the same token, we talk about the fivefold ministry. He gave some apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, what? For the perfecting of the saints, right? Well, he gave some doctors. He gave some lawyers. He gave some teachers. He gave some counselors. He gave some policemen. guess what? They're all pivotal parts of our community. And because mm-hmm. they have different roles, they work for the perfecting of our community. Oh, my God. They work
yeah.
together for the perfecting
mm-hmm.
of our community to help the people do what they need to do to coexist, just like the
mm-hmm.
fivefold ministry does for the body of Christ. And but we forget about those things. We forget
yeah.
about the fact that just like we do in the spiritual, we have different components of the body, we have different parts. See, the foot can't do the same thing as the hand, but they work together to function for
yeah.
the body. It doesn't slide
yeah.
off for what the body does. The head can't
yeah.
do the same thing as the foot, but the head helps guide the foot. There's a such
yeah.
thing as interdependence. And it doesn't slide the other. The trunk of the body can't do what the knee can do, but they work together to get the body from point A to point B, and we have to remember that. We have to remember that we need each other to do what we need to do, but we limit God at what his healing of power can do. And God heals through the mental health professional, and people speak against that, oh, you can't take all those medicines. Well, all the time, the mental health professional, you may not need medication. Sometimes it's just simple talking to someone. It may need therapeutic intervention such as guided meditation, mindfulness. It may be just to be able to go to somebody and say, hey, I noticed, like we were talking, yes, a good example, where somebody's depressed. Hey, I just wanted to come and see if you wanted to go shopping with me. Oh, we can talk about some things. Maybe we can go to the park. Maybe we can even do something like Bishop Zimmerman like want to do, go ziplining. You know, maybe some fun activity, different things like that to lift somebody. Exercising. It's documented that exercising releases chemicals in your brain that combats depression. And it doesn't necessarily have to do anything, you know, not saying that just because you exercise that you have to lose weight, but it's for
mm-hmm.
overall well-being. You don't have to pop a pill for that. But guess what? If you have to take a pill, that's okay. It's nothing wrong
yeah.
with it. It's
mm-hmm.
nothing wrong with it. God heals in different ways, and it's okay. But people got to the point of thinking that if you need to take medication, if you have to go see a therapist, guess what? Something is wrong. But guess what? I go see a therapist, and it's nothing wrong with me because even the best people have weight on their shoulders, and they need to process. And there's nothing
wow.
wrong with that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we all need to talk to someone at some point in our time, and there's nothing wrong with that. Does that mean I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs? No. It just means that sometimes, and even I learned this even in my master's degree, and my master's is in counseling, that every therapist should go, before they start to go in the clinical field, and go get therapy to make sure that they have every issue in their area resolved so they don't go into what we call countertransference and transference, which means
Absolutely.
That you don't go and you see a client and they remind you of a situation you go to and you do harm to them because of what you haven't resolved. But then even
yeah.
in the course of your practice, that you don't have such a weight on you that you can't be affected or that you know that you don't get into a habit or if a client comes to you, you don't enable them. You don't do harm. And you take on something that you can't afford to. And then there's sometimes that you have to learn as a therapist or a healthcare provider to transfer a case to someone that may be more qualified in that particular
mm-hmm.
area. And that's not wrong. And I know I kind of went off just a little bit, but that's all in the mental health conglomerate, you know. But being taboo in the African-American community is that we're taught that we have to, because of the many oppressive years that we've gone through, that we have to always be strong. We cannot look weak in any area. And if we have a mental health condition, that we're looked at as weak. But that is not making us weak. but getting the help we need, that's showing that there's strength. True strength is understanding that when we have a challenge in any particular area, that we are willing to get the help we need.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you answered one of the questions that I had for a later segment, but I would love to address it right now because I was wanting to address how there is a limited understanding in a lot of our religious capacities because we think that everything should be approached through prayer, which is an accurate approach, but that it doesn't limit our resources to just that of spiritual of laying hands. When you said the counter transference, mental health professionals should be held accountable to make sure that they're not transferring underlying issues that they may have onto their congregation. And how often is that happening within our community?
It's happening quite a bit.
Yeah. Because we often do recognize adverse behavior as a demonic spirit or poor upbringing or rebellion, disobedience, you know, and it may not at all be that.
Right. You know.
It could be something so much more, yes.
Mm-hmm. For example, if you understand the disease concept of addiction, the disease concept of addiction teaches us that the disease, alcoholism or well, not necessarily just alcoholism, but addiction itself is a primary, chronic, relapsing, occurring. It tells us all about how addiction is just like cancer. It teaches us it's just like lupus. It's just like high blood pressure. It has to be treated as such. Now, some people challenge that. They don't believe that addiction is a disease. They believe that it's a choice because you make the conscientious decision to take that first mood-altering substance and based on that. But you also have to realize that it affects the brain. Once you, people get dependent on mood-altering substance, for example, because there is a limited amount within the brain of their, and I just lost that thought. Holy Ghost, bring it back to my remembrance. Our chemicals in our brain, I'll say it that way. Because the Holy Spirit will bring it back to my remembrance in time. But because of that, that's what, yes, it will bring, because there's a deficit within that, it postulates that craving, that addictive tenacity within the brain. And because of that and prolonged usage of that, it makes a person addictive. But I will also say within the disease concept of addiction, it postulates the theory if you have those traits within the bloodline, it is likelihood that you will fall into addictive behavior. The predecessor, the next predecessing generation. And some people say, well, my father, my mother was in addictive behavior, and I didn't fall into it. Well, just like with any generation, it can skip a generation. You know, it's, no theory is absolute. Some people say, well, you know, you got to look at a disease. I have a family history of diabetes. But guess what? My brothers and sisters, I have a brother and an older sister that have diabetes. Guess what? I don't have diabetes. My baby sister don't have diabetes. We didn't get it, but they got it. So, you know, it can happen like that. But what also happens is your brain begins to think that when you're limited in those chemicals within the brain, when you become dependent on it, your brain, if you're not, let me put it that way, if you're not limited initially by prolonged usage of that substance, your brain mentally begins to think, okay, I don't have to produce no more of this chemical because I'm producing too much of it. And then that's when the addictive behavior begins. But I'm going to throw this in there also. Now, what happens is that because someone may be within the challenge within the maybe, let's say, ADHD, they begin to say, well, okay, I'm going to smoke marijuana because that will slow my process down. That's going a little bit into the co-occurring disorder. And they're going to say, okay, I'm going to smoke marijuana because that kind of mellows me out a little bit. Because they may not can afford to take the medication that they may have been prescribed. And they begin to smoke the marijuana because that may be cheaper for them. I'm just giving just one example. And because of the prolonged use, they may become dependent on it. And, you know, when they decide to stop using it, their mind goes back to racing. They go into withdrawal symptoms because people can be dependent on marijuana. Some people beg it fuss and they say, okay, well, I can't dependent on marijuana. You can't get withdrawals from marijuana. I have seen it myself, and I have history being an addiction counselor, and I have seen my clients become dependent on marijuana. And some of those characteristics have been migraines. Some of them have had mood swings, and those withdrawal symptoms may vary from individuals. Is not always jerking around like a fish and all of this stuff like you see on TV, but withdrawal symptoms vary. But because their mental health condition is taboo within the African-American community, they don't want to go get help within the mental health facility, so they take initiative on their own, and they end up with another problem on their hands in addition with that mental health issue. So now you have a co-occurring disorder because of the fact that they didn't want to be labeled, they didn't want to be identified as anybody, quote, crazy, they didn't want to, and I'm not saying that it to have a pun intended with anybody, but just to show how, you know, we have to get outside of this thought process that it's wrong to get help, you know, that it is taboo, because there's nothing wrong with getting help and to be ashamed of getting assistance. And, you know, I want to solicit to our faith community to get that knowledge. Go to the American Counseling Association and get the CEUs. Go to some of these training workshops that talk about grief counseling. Go to as many, you know, even if you don't get a degree in counseling, there's so many people that can help you. Refer people when possible if you don't know this stuff for yourself. There's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with getting the person help because, you know, if you know something is wrong with them, and in Ezekiel it tells you this, and you don't do anything, that blood is on your hands. That blood is on your hands. And so, and leaders, I have to say this, leaders, is nothing wrong with you getting help too. It is nothing wrong with you getting help. I know I kind of went on a tangent, and I hope that was okay.
You covered everything that we wanted to do on today, Dr. Zimmerman. We so appreciate you, and we are going to be here again on May 18th at 2 p.m. to continue our segment on the Mental Health Month for May. And we are shortly out of time. I think we're within the last 60 seconds. I wanted to thank you so much, Dr. Zimmerman, because you are a very active leader within your field, and to take the time share this information with us is just priceless. And I want to just keep rattling on because you said some things that I know for me brought up personal issues, that you cannot use substances for an extended period of time and think that you have not impacted the overall metabolic nature of the body. And oh my goodness, we could go on for hours with this topic. I just want to say thank you again. And to all of our callers on today, we will be able to answer questions on our next segment, which is Friday, May 18th at 2 p.m. And we will be posting this on our PRF website, which is prfministries.org, as well as our Facebook channel, PRF Ministries. And again, my name is Kimberly Silas. Please share this with your family members and friends. If you have any questions or comments, Dr. Zimmerman is on Facebook at Bishop Dr. Zimmerman, Dr. Kelly Zimmerman. I myself am on Facebook at Kimberly Silas, S-I-L-A-S. And, of course, our PRF Ministries, blogtalkradio.com, /PRF Ministries. Thank you so incredibly much, Dr. Zimmerman, and everybody.
Thank you.
Have an amazing, absolutely amazing month of May, and make this the greatest, most absolute blessed day of your life. Thank you so very much. Until we meet again, be blessed.
Thank you. Anytime.